And one of the things I've discovered is that I effectively, over the years, have crushed my dreams through fear. My name is Paul Harvey, and this is Life, Passion and Business. We're about helping you explore, finding your passion for life and the work that you do. But it's so much more than that. It's about finding clues to the big life questions. What does it mean to be successful? What is the meaning of life? If you're looking for more, then join me on this journey, where together we will discover through interviews, tools and tips, how to live life full of meaning, passion and purpose. This week's podcast is a little different. I was reviewing some of the older shows and I found episode 57 with Susie Beaumont on the subject of fear, change and money stories. I think it is very topical as I have been feeling my own fear this week. Nothing dramatic, but I believe it's related to change and possibly some money stories. It is often forgotten by myself and many people that unless I am staring at the tiger or the man with the gun, I have little reason to be fearful of anything. You see, most of my fear is thinking about the past or the future. This show is good enough to give it a second airing as it's relevant to our current situation. The show touches on money stories, fear and change. And with the current situation, I'm sure most of us can relate to that. So to give you a little background, Susie has been a regular contributor to the program. She's a former BBC producer with 18 years of experience working both in radio and television. Now, while she was outwardly successful in that job, she was not dealing with her life and personal issues and was generally unhappy. It was the meeting of a life coach and the discovering of personal development that changed everything. And in 2017, she left the BBC to continue her work with Change Your World, a company she set up, to deliver conferences and events. And up until COVID, that's what she was doing. She currently runs the Facebook group Change Your World Every Day, where members meet 3 weeks out of four for morning coaching sessions. This show was recorded in April last year on the Change Your World Facebook page just before the spring conference. Welcome to Life, Passion and Business. And this started out as a podcast short, but became a full program. As you may be aware, I have been working with my money story since meeting Laura Powner on the program a few weeks back. And I was having a conversation with another past guest, Susie Beaumont, about my money story and about things that were coming out of my head at the time. And we realized that what we were talking about would have made a good podcast short. However, it kind of morphed into a full program as we talked for about 40 minutes about our own experience of money, our own experience of fear, and it kind of moved into personal development and about the project that we're working on together. So without further conversation, I think I will leave the program to explain itself. I hope you enjoy this podcast. Susie and I have much in common and we tend to get carried away, as you will see. Okay, welcome to Life, Passion and Business. Had some technical things there, playing with OBS and Zoom and all trying to stream ourselves to Facebook. So assuming the computer don't die from all these things I've just done to it, we will have a conversation with Susie Beaumont. I'm so delighted today. So full disclosure, I am working with Susie Beaumont at the moment on the Change Your World conference. And so we've been covering loads of discussions around life, passion, business, and all the sorts of things that come up when you start doing a conference like this. And this is the Change Your World conference that happens on April the 6th. So Susie, welcome to the live stream.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you for having me.
It's great. Now, one of the things that reason we did this today is that I have been working with a lady called Laura Powner on money. And I have been opening the box that is my head and discovering all sorts of crap and things that shouldn't be there about money. And one of the things I've discovered is that I effectively, over the years, have crushed my dreams through fear of money, actually, of what it might cost me. I've actually not done things purely and simply because I didn't think I could afford it. Mm. And it's a real, quite a saddening thing to realise how limiting I have been around this.
However, there's an opportunity now that you know it.
Well, this is true. It is definitely an opportunity now that I know it. But I know you and I were talking about it, and it's like I thought, so we must start sharing this stuff. We must have a conversation about it. So, what's your story with fear, Susie? And I'll get back to mine in a moment. Where do you sit with this lovely place that most people sit in and don't notice?
With fear. I used to be scared of everything. Just terrified, absolutely, truly terrified to be myself, to live my potential, to speak out, tell my truth, be all that I could be, to stand out and shine. And I still am, to a certain extent. There's still things that hold me back. I still feel fear around that. I've learned through my own personal development journey that we operate, we have two motivating factors, and it's love or fear. Sadly, most of us operate from fear. That's our default setting. You know, it's our limbic brain. It's designed that way to keep us alive. You know, without that, we wouldn't be alive today. Our race would have completely and utterly, been killed off years ago.
Yeah, we are programmed to look for the negative, aren't we?
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, that's a survival thing. So the thing is, you have to while it's useful, you have to be aware of it and make sure that it doesn't limit you and, like you, you know, cull your dreams. And I think we're all guilty of that. I don't think you're I don't think that's new. A lot of people do that. It's the realization is where the pain comes from, when you realize you've done that.
Well, like, they say that only 5% of the population actually have goals.
Yes, I know. Yeah, I was reading that. And that's quite shocking. And because when I read that stat, I thought, wow, if that's a fundamental flaw straight away, because if you don't know where you're going, if you don't have set intentions, you know, I said this to you earlier, it's like trying to book a holiday. If you don't know your destination and where you're going, you can't book the flight, you can't book the transport to the airport, you can't pack your luggage, you know, you can't arrange your apartment, your accommodation, so you can't do any of the process. And you just drift, and then you never actually get to go on holiday. It's the same with goals. Life will just happen, and you don't design your life, you don't create your life, you're just constantly in reaction to whatever comes up.
Yeah.
And, you know, if our thought pattern is also negative, then that mirrors what comes up for us. We project that out there, and, you know, we just get to this place. Well, I certainly did. My experience was that I just hit a place in my early 30s where I just thought, oh my God, is this it? Is this... You know, I'd done everything that I suppose I thought society, what you do. You know, you go to school, you go to further education, you get a good job, you get a house, you get the boyfriend, the partner, you know, all these things. I was on this track and I just thought, this is just eat, sleep, work, repeat. And none of this is filling me with joy. You know, I mean, with the exception, I did love my job. I really had a great job. I was really thriving in that. But that's where I was putting all my energy, because I was avoiding the rest of my life, because it was like, it was too uncomfortable. I knew it was uncomfortable. I didn't want to look at it. I knew I wasn't reaching my full potential, but I didn't know what else to do. There was fear there.
Yeah.
And it was like, well, if I look at this, that means I'm probably going to have to separate from my partner. If I could get truly honest with myself and have an honest appraisal of my life, I'm going to have to split with my partner. That means selling the house that I really love and the location, and, you know, moving away from that. That brings up fear. How am I going to survive on my own? How will I survive financially? What will... With fear about what other people would think, you know, this whole status that I'd created for myself, you know, the good job, the partner, the nice house, all that. And it's like, everyone will think I've failed. you know. And I found out that most people, well, you know, my good friends actually really cared deeply for me and weren't thinking anything like that. And anybody that didn't really know me, they were too busy dealing with their own stuff.
Well, that's the point. Most people don't notice everyone else. I mean, and I don't notice anyone else until something comes and you suddenly think, oh, I thought they were doing okay.
Yeah. But, and also you just feel compassion for when you see somebody suffering and going through a challenge, you don't feel joy that they're going through that. No. You feel absolute compassion if you're a decent person, obviously, but you feel compassion for that person. Yeah. You're like, God, you know, I'm really sorry that's happened to you, you know. But as I've learned that all these challenges and crises, and, you know, they are an opportunity. You always learn something from them. And that's easy to say when you're at the other side of it. You know, I'm talking with sort of 7 years of, or even 10 years of hindsight of the crappy times I've gone through. And, you know, life is really good for me now. But, you know, whilst I was in the midst of it, you know, it was painful and it was horrible and I thought I'd never get out of it.
But it is this thing about recognising, you know, there is opportunity, there's still opportunity. I mean, yes. I found this picture at the weekend of when I was 16. And my son is the same age now, and we look so alike. This picture is
really?
There's so much of him in me at that age. It really is. I mean, we look alike now, but looking at that now, you kind of wow. And I have to say, it did bring a lot of emotion up for me in looking at that picture, because I recognize all that potential at that time, and that's 40 years ago. And there is a sense of lost opportunity for me, which I'm feeling now. And actually, when I think about it, I'm feeling it now. I'm feeling that kind of like, I did literally let those 40 years go by. And all right, I've done stuff and I've enjoyed my life, but what else would have been possible had I really embraced the potential?
Yeah.
You know, and that's why I wanted to have this conversation here today, because it's like, just because it's 40 years have gone by, I'm 56, there's still plenty of time.
Absolutely.
You know, there was that video we shared on Change Your World. Did you see it, of the old lady, the race?
Yes, I did, yeah. I mean, incredible.
The lady on the race. I don't know if you've not seen this. It's on Change Your World, and I'll share a link of it here when I remember. It was a race. It was a 60-meter dash of older women. And we're talking seriously older women. And the last woman who crossed the line, the last, became a world record holder. She did a 60-meter dash in 24 seconds. And she's 102.
Incredible.
And she's 102.
I don't think I could do that.
She's 102.
I know.
And she only took up running when she turned 100.
It's amazing. You know, I hear this constantly in the work that I do. I hear from people, oh no, I'm too old to start now. And honestly, I'm quite a sensitive person. So when I hear that from somebody, I actually feel it. I think, oh no, don't do that. Don't say that to yourself, because your body and your mind and your soul is screaming out for you to be the absolute best that you can be. You know, it's like we actually have cells in our body and that's their whole purpose in life, to reach their true potential. We're designed to reach our true potential. However, society, conditioning, one of my big things that I'm constantly talking about is that I don't think we have enough role models. You know, we become a direct reflection of the five people we spend the most time with. So if those people are not lifting you up and not inspiring you, not empowering you, encouraging you and supporting you, then you just end up being like them. And, you know, that might be fine. They might be lovely people and everybody, you know, I'm sure they are. However, if you do have these dreams and goals and desires and they're unmet, it does start eating away at you. You know, a little bit of you dies. And that's, it's not a nice place to be. I mean, you were saying about your son, you know, he's the same age now. I often say to parents, you know, when we're doing the work that we do, and it's like, you know, look at your life now, is that what you would want for your own child, or would you want more? And all parents want more for their children, you know. And it's not to, you know, slag off their life or criticize their life, but it's just like the dream is there. of course I want more for my son or my daughter, you know, but it's like, well, why don't you want more for yourself? You know, and it's, you can see people kind of going, it's like when you see people in really crappy relationships, really toxic relationships, and they're being really challenged by it. And you're saying, you know, if your daughter was in this relationship or your son was in this relationship, you know, and it's a brutal question to ask, but the light bulb moment that goes off, because it's suddenly like, oh my God, I'd be telling my daughter.
Yeah, but you see, that you get into now, right? I'm a marketer, so I work with this kind of stuff. That's kind of what I work with. I mean,
yeah.
And we, in marketing, we call that the pain to the threshold of the pain to change.
Yes. Yeah.
And there's this lovely old story of two old guys sitting on a porch somewhere in the US somewhere, and there's a dog lying in the middle, and he's whining. And the old guy says to his mate, says, "Why is the dog whining?" And the guy said, "Well, he's laying on a nail."
Yeah.
And he says, "Why didn't he move? Not that painful yet."
Yeah, and that is absolutely.
And that's it. You know, we learn to deal with pain to a point, and only when it becomes more
so painful.
But when it becomes less than the pain, you know, or greater than the pain to change, then do we change?
Yeah, absolutely. And even if you sometimes, you know, you will reach your enough point where it gets so painful. And you will start changing. However, change can be painful because it brings up all kinds of, it brings up the fears that we're talking about, obstacles, challenges.
Leaving a partner, sorting out the issues of actually having to sell your worldly goods together.
All that, you know, brings up judgment yourself, guilt, all these negative emotions. And suddenly you're faced with all that and you're like, oh my God, sod that. And because of the way the limbic brain works, the limbic brain will do absolutely anything to feel better. It's a very temporary thing. It wants temporary pleasure. It wants temporary solutions, temporary fixes. It's not thinking about the long-term gain. Okay, like I will get over this challenging time and life will be better. In that moment, it's full of fear. Its basic instinct is to survive. So it will do anything to feel better. That's like why we go, if we're in a pub situation, a social situation, and we feel uncomfortable, socially awkward, we take a drink, makes us feel better. You know, it's like, I feel crappy, so I'm going to eat a bar of chocolate. I want to feel better. You know, whatever fix it is, you know, we go to, that's why the limbic brain is kicking in and hijacking, and you have to override that. And, you know, if I mean, I've only just learnt this in the last few years of my life, and it's like, if I had known this as a child, my life would have panned out a lot. If we were teaching this in schools, this was a regular thing that people understood, how the brain works, how our fears kick in, how we get hijacked, then we could manage it much more effectively and start creating.
That brings me to a wonderful conversation with one of your speakers. So Will Murtha is one of our speakers on the 6th of April. And I was having a conversation with him yesterday about what are the issues in this sort of stuff. And now Will is a performance coach. He's a high level coach.
Yeah,
and he was saying to me, whether he's speaking to someone who's earning 20,000 or 200,000, the questions and the problems are the same.
Absolutely.
It's all about overwhelm.
Yeah.
And he was saying, we're all overwhelmed. Everybody's overwhelmed. And the reason is because you can only change three things. I think this is such a clear description. You can only change three things in a person. You can change your skill, your craft. Yeah. You can change your physique. You can actually improve your physique and look after your body. And you can change your mind.
Yes.
And most people are used to only changing the first two. They do very little with the third.
Yeah.
And that's where the big shift is coming now. Everyone has heard the word of mindfulness. And, you know, that's what this conference will be about. I think one of the things in this conference we will really discover is a lot about mindfulness, because I think this is where everybody needs to step up.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, mindfulness, you know, a lot of people immediately think, oh, it's just meditation, sitting on a stool for 20 minutes. It's not. Mindfulness is being mindful of your actions and your thoughts and your, you know, how your body's moving, how your, the feelings that you have. I mean, you know, our body is speaking to us all the time with aches and pains. You know, it's signaling to us something you are doing is not serving you, whether that's the food that you're eating, the lack of movement, the stress that you're piling on yourself, the negative critical self-talk, you know, whatever it might be, or the environment you live in is constantly speaking to you. And it's very much, you know, like Will said about, you know, we don't develop the mind, you know, very few of us. I mean, that's what personal development is all about, is developing the mind, becoming aware of your belief systems, your conditioning, your influences, why you do what you do, what you stand for, what your core values. Are you living in alignment with your core values? Because nothing will give you more stress, anxiety, and resentment than going against your core values.
Yes.
And we never step off the treadmill. You know, we're so busy just on the rat race, you know, just going around, eat, sleep, work, repeat. We never step off to kind of go, right, what am I doing? Is this bringing me joy? And if it's not bringing me joy, what can I do? I mean, and even if you do that, you know, a lot of us kind of get to a point where you go, well, I don't know what I want. I mean, and this is what I was asked, you know, 10, 11 years ago in my first session, I had a life coaching session. I was like, well, what do you want? And I was like, I don't know. And, you know, I was just sort of said, well, how can you create the life that you want if you don't know what you want? And I was like, well, you can't. And, you know, I didn't have a clue. So what I then did is then start kind of just trying new things. I was like, what do I actually like? Who am I? Because I'd morphed into this, you know, I went through all the doing what I should do with society expecting me to get the job and the boyfriend and all the rest of it. But I was like, who am I? I don't even know who I am. I don't know what brings me joy. I don't know what I'm passionate about. I don't know what my values are. I don't know what makes me alive and feel motivated. So I started trying new things and working out the answers to these questions. You know, that meant taking up hobbies, started personal development, I did mentoring, volunteering, I did all kinds of things. I went traveling, had all amazing, weird and wonderful experiences. And yeah, it was good fun. It was good fun going on a self-discovery. And I mean, it wasn't all easy, you know, like you've had a painful revelation in the last few days, you know, lots of that came up. But once you become aware of these things, that's the starting point to changing them. Because if you've not got the awareness, you can't even begin to change. So, you know, when you have these painful moments, that is when the magic happens. That's the opportunity to start, you know, addressing it and start going, well, that has been my pattern to date, but I don't want it to be my pattern in future. So
this conference, getting back to the conference, is not necessarily, you don't have to be coming to this conference to be making massive big change. It's not necessarily about ripping your life apart. It's actually about looking at your life and saying, is this what I want?
Yeah.
And for most people, your life is pretty good, but it could be better.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the fundamental thing. I still am. I was going to say I became evangelical when I first started.
I had noticed that in you a bit.
You see me before. This is it reined in. But it was like suddenly I realized just through the changes that I made in my life, suddenly realizing how good I could feel. And I'd never experienced that. Like I just had accepted what was. And didn't realize there was more. There was another level. I could feel more. I could live with vibrancy and excitement and joy and all the rest, all the happiness, that health and happiness. That's, you know, that's my fundamental core values, health and happiness.
It feels appropriate to stop that program there because the rest of the episode was all about the conference that was coming up in April 2019. But certainly Susie's comments about health and happiness are certainly very good maxims to live by, and in Susie's case, it was all down to personal development that got her there. If you would like to connect with Susie Beaumont, you can find her on Facebook and on Twitter and on Instagram, or you can find her at changeyourworld.me. These links will be at the podcast website under the player as per usual. So that's it for this week. Thank you so much for your time and attention. I will be back on Sunday with my Sunday reflection. In the meantime, thanks for listening, and I'll catch you later.